Our scripture today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28 to 34. Let's pray before we begin. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word, your word which you have given to us that helps us to guide us throughout our life. And we pray a blessing upon your word and our hearing, that it may be written upon our hearts and in our minds, that we may live it in our lives wherever we find ourselves. We also ask for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory and yours alone. We thank you, Lord, for being with us in this moment and in all moments. We praise you and we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 12, 28 to 34. Hear now God's word. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked Jesus, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much, much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any questions." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our scripture today is very popular, very well known. It's one that I love greatly because I'm big into like turning things that are really long into things that are really short, because it's hard to remember certain things, and this is nice and concise. The two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, we've talked about again and again and again. These are the two summaries of the two tablets of the law. So one tablet is focused on loving God, and the other tablet is focused on loving humanity. And these cover those. And they're great summaries. And we talked about them, how to live by them, that we shouldn't fall short of them and continue towards them throughout our entire lives. Now, I'm going to focus on something a little bit different in this scripture today. So Mark 12, 28 to 34 comes at the long line of Jesus trying to stump Jesus. People trying to stump Jesus. They're asking him question after question after question. Should I pay taxes? Is the resurrection true? And if so, how does it work? And Jesus answers them all and surprises them all with his answers. So a scribe is trying to get Jesus stumped again. Scribes know the law inside and out. It's what they study. It's what they follow as best they can. And so they ask Jesus a seemingly impossible question. Which commandment is the first of all? How many commandments are in the Bible? Now, you think of 10, right? Because we all know the 10 commandments. But of course, there is a whole lot more. You're not allowed to walk your donkey on the Sabbath. Don't do any work on the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath day holy. You should do this, do that. Don't wear any polycotton blend shirts. All kinds of laws are in the Bible. That one's actually in there. Along with when you plant a field, don't plant two of the same crops in the same field. These are commandments, things that you shouldn't do or things that you should do or whatever. And there are hundreds of them. Asking this question to Jesus would almost be like if I were to ask you, which is the best color of all of them? And so everyone has their own answer, but we don't call that an answer. What do we call that? An opinion. No, none of them, one isn't right over the other one. Unless you say that the best color is blue, then you're right. And if you don't say that, then you're wrong. But we won't get into that today. This is an opinion, though. The scribe was well ready to argue with Jesus and say, okay, you pick this one, but why not this one? But Jesus stumped them all once again, and the answer was actually threefold and not twofold. His first one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's actually a name for that. It's called the Shema. In a time when the world was worshiping all kinds of different gods, Israel came along and said, but there's only one. And so this Shema set them apart from everybody else. There was a joke that was told, Israel is so poor. And they say, how poor are they? That they can only afford one God. Yeah, that kind of thing. Because the world at their time was multiple gods, all kinds of gods, all over the place. Gods of this tree, gods of that hill, gods of the air, gods of the earth. This statement, which they lived by and died by, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, separated them from everybody else. And they said, okay, what should now we do with this statement? And it goes on to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then Jesus pulls from another bit of scripture in the Old Testament, and he says this, and also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And for Jesus, these things are so tied to one another that if you don't do one, you're not doing the other. To love God means to love your neighbor. To love your neighbor means to love God. And after Jesus had said this, of course, we get verse 32 here, and the scribe says to Jesus, you're right, teacher, and he repeats back to Jesus what he had said in his own words. He is one, and besides him there is no other. To love him with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself, this is much more important than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus says, well done, you answered wisely. What's happening here is this. Out of all the people that questioned Jesus, and Jesus stumped every one of them, this scribe questioned Jesus with all these laws, which one's the best? And when Jesus came back with his answer, the scribe said, oh, those are the best ones. The scribe is being humbled right here, but happily so. He's being corrected by Jesus. Jesus showed him something he hadn't seen before, and he says to Jesus, yeah, that's right. Those are, in fact, the two greatest commandments ever. Jesus changed this man's life because the man led him. There are people in this world, people in this congregation, I imagine, who will do anything to be right. Even if they're proved wrong, they won't admit it. It's so hard to admit when you're wrong. Because why? I don't know. Makes you look weak. Makes you look like you didn't have all of the answers. We live in a world where power is such an important thing that we try to hold on to it with everything that we got. And that includes looking right every single time. They wanted Jesus to be wrong, and this man came in order to prove Jesus wrong, but Jesus proved him wrong and said that there was actually an answer to his question. Tell you what, in this life, it is so, what's the word, tempting to be right all the time. As pastor, as the leader of a church, I served a church where I would answer honestly, I didn't know. And they were so mad at me that I didn't know. I was supposed to know everything. I was supposed to have the answer. And I fell for that for a long time. That I had to know the answer, whatever it was, even if I made it up. And didn't say, you know, I don't know. In a relationship, when you're with someone that you love, there's also a temptation to be right all the time. Stephanie and I, for example, she asked me to vacuum, which I still forgot to do. Man. All right, but the time before that, she asked me to vacuum the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen. Living room, dining room are carpets, and the kitchen is tile with rug over the tile. So I vacuumed the living room and the dining room, and I didn't vacuum the kitchen because it didn't need it. I thought she was wrong, so I didn't do it. And then she came downstairs or came back or from doing whatever, and she said, "Did you vacuum?" I said, "Oh yes, I vacuumed the living room and the dining room." She said, "Not the kitchen." I said, "The kitchen didn't need done." And so she vacuumed the kitchen. And when she was done vacuuming the kitchen, she said, "Justin, can you please empty the vacuum cleaner so that I could see just how much dirt there actually was?" So I went and I emptied the vacuum cleaner, and she was right. The kitchen was dirty. It's hard to be wrong. Unless you have a spirit in which allows you to be corrected. We could walk our entire lives thinking that we have the answer. And being proved time and time and time again that we don't, but still not willing to change or to bend or to, what did they say? Get with it. It's hard to understand when we're wrong. But the beautiful thing in this scripture is that here's this man who tried to stump Jesus and instead himself got stumped. And the man said, "You know what, Jesus? I was wrong. You're right." He calls him teacher there at the end. "Teacher, you're right. These are the best of the commandments." And what does Jesus say? Because this man said that he was wrong, Jesus says he answered wisely. Admitting when we don't know something, when we need to change, when the Holy Spirit tries to challenge us in our lives, or we're challenged by this world and we seek Scripture to find the answer, and we allow our spirits to be changed, that's a part of wisdom. Not knowing, but being willing to know what we didn't. "You are not far from the kingdom of God," he said to this man. I pray that we're challenged by this young man who was willing to get his life altered in a very public setting, being proven wrong, and walking the way that's correct. That we too, when we don't know, that we're able to admit it and find out what it is Christ is teaching us in those moments. Finish with this closing prayer. As we go about our day, O God, as we strive to walk with Jesus, remind us that we are the face of Christ who is with us always. May your grace, mercy, and peace bless us, protect us, and transform us all this day, now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.